time to get up and get your day started.
Get up! Get up!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Good morning, everyone!
Good morning!
Good morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, the first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Good morning indeed. And not just any good morning, but good Friday morning. That's right. Friday is here. Another work week coming to an end. And what a week it has been, and what a day, what a night it was last night as the NFL draft is officially underway. Round one in the books last night. We'll be getting into that today. Obviously hot and heavy, plus the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball. I had a great day yesterday. I can't ask for a much better day than I had yesterday, but maybe today will be better because it's Friday. Welcome into Sports 56 Mornings on this Friday, April the 24th. 2026. I am Eli Savoy. Jay Hamm is here as well. No Greg Gaston today. He is off. And right now, pretty nice day out there. Currently 67 degrees. We should see some sunshine early, but today the weather could turn a little bit ugly. There is showers, thunderstorms possibly expected through the day today, as well as overnight tonight, possibility of more showers and thunderstorms. High today, only around 75 degrees. So it's going to be very pleasant temperature-wise. But again, some rain and thunderstorms are expected over the weekend. After the rain moves through tonight, looking pretty nice for Saturday and Sunday with a lot of sunshine. Temperatures right around the 80, maybe into the low 80s. There's only about a 20% chance of rain each day for Saturday and for Sunday. But yes, indeed, last night, round one of the NFL draft got selected, and it went a lot quicker than normal with the 8 minutes between picks, which was very, very nice. And we will be talking a lot about that coming up on today's program. And of course, rounds two and three will be tonight. Rounds four through seven will be coming up tomorrow. There were three NBA playoff games last night, three home teams that were underdogs, and three home teams that won. Also, Taylor Jenkins, former Grizzlies head coach. Now it is officially official. I think it's official. If not, it's pretty close to official that he has a new job. We've got some portal news that we'll be getting to on the program, especially for the Memphis Tigers. We'll talk about that. The Mike Vrabel, Diana Rossini story just will not go away. People just like scrolling through their camera to find pictures from everywhere at this point of these two. They've been everywhere. Even down at the Beau Rivage in Biloxi, for goodness sake. We have pictures. When I saw Mississippi Casino, I was praying it was Tunica, but no. All the way down in Biloxi. It was
all the way in Biloxi.
The Beau Rivage. I love the Beau Rivage. I'm a big fan of that place. I've stayed there a couple of different times.
I haven't seen these latest updates on the pictures, though. This was new. That's why I was a little shocked when you mentioned
it. No, yeah. They're everywhere. These two have been everywhere. Like, it's like, where in the world are Mike Vrabel and Diana Rossini? Like, this is now, we know now why they're. And she kind of screwed up because she did come out at early, but now we kind of know why there hasn't been these adamant denials. Because you know, in today's world, you just can assume there's probably more. If you know you've been hanging out a lot, you could probably assume there's more pictures out there. Yeah. So you don't come out and act like, no, absolutely nothing going on here, because then you look idiotic when the other pictures come out.
I mentioned this yesterday to John. I said, you know what? He's got some bad advice as far as that press conference and everything. That bad advice probably came from a woman who's telling him he needs to be accountable and the whole thing. And if it didn't come from a woman, it came from a man who got it from a woman on the same energy. But it was like the press conference was like, you pretty much outed yourself.
Well, again, I'm sure there's more pictures. I'm not going to say, like, adamantly I didn't do it, because that'll backfire. They were hanging out. They were at a New York bar the night the world stopped, March 11th, 2020. They were hanging out at a New York bar.
Okay, so now we're talking years.
Yes. This has been going on for It's crazy. That's back to COVID. The night the world stopped, those two were hanging out at a New York bar, and there's like pictures of them like kissing and stuff. Like it is crazy. That story is unbelievable how that thing has blown up. Like now, I just assume there's a million pictures of them out there at this point in time. But that is a fun story as well. Coming up on today's program, guest wise, John Varlas will be here. As he is each and every Friday, we'll talk some prep sports with John Varlas as we're getting closer to the postseason in these spring sports. Coming up at 9:05, a woman who I'm a fan of, Kelly Stewart. You probably know her from Twitter, social media as Kelly in Vegas. She's also been on a number of various media platforms that you may have seen her talking gambling. She owns WagerTalk.com. And we're going to talk with her about some gambling stuff from NBA playoffs to the NFL draft to whatever. We'll have her coming up at 9:05 today. And then Joe DeLeon, who's always with us on Friday, normally at 8:25, he'll be with us at 9:25 today. A little bit later for Joe, that we'll be talking a lot of NFL draft, of course, with Joe. That'll come up in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Since we're booked up at the 9 o'clock hour, we will have 10 in a row, but we will do that at about 8:30. And I'm going to tell you, I think the 10 in a row today, I believe, is pretty darn easy. If you watched the draft last night, it should be really darn easy. I'm going to tell you that. So that's 10 in a row coming up at about 8:30 today if you want to try and win a great prize package. We are here in the Family Leisure Studios where family and fun come together. That is Family Leisure right now. Their hot tub and swim spa expo going on. The battle of the brands with seven manufacturers all fighting for your business. Hot tub starting at $34.99, swim spa starting at $16.99. Mention this ad, get a free cover lift with your spa purchase as well. That is a great deal right there to get that cover lift for free. All you gotta do is mention you heard it here on Sports 56. Family Leisure, great weekend to get by and see them at 2120 Witten Road. That's just north of I-40. And hour number one of the program is, of course, brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. I have been a big fan of Old Dominic's different thing. They're different spirits since they've come around. And they are, I've had the tour of the distillery down there. That's a lot of fun to do. It is a great place to go check out Old Dominic, downtown Memphis on Front Street. And of course, we always have the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line open to you at 901-360-8255, 901-360-8255. If you want to call or text, you are certainly welcome to do so on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. But we will get right to it. First of all, I just want to say, yesterday, what a day for me. First in the afternoon, the Cubs, again, just beating up on the Phillies, Greg's Phillies, just four game sweep. They walk it off in the 10th inning. They sweep these four. They had won two out of three previous series against the Phillies. So they've now won six. They won six of the seven this year against the Phillies after they lost the first one. So they've won six in a row. They've won nine in a row overall. First nine game winning streak for the Cubs since 2016. That was a pretty good year for the Cubs. They're now tied for first place with the Cincinnati Reds in the NL Central. So that's good. That's great. I'm enjoying that. Then last night, the draft. And what have I talked about all along?
Let him fall.
The one guy I wanted.
Let him fall.
Please. Please, Lord, if there's anything up there, please, if something, just will you let Caleb Downs get to the Cowboys? And sure enough, things start happening. And I'm like, It could get, he's got a chance. He's got it. Then of course it gets to the Giants at 10, and I'm angry at Brevin Knight at this point in time, like right as this is happening. Cause I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Is this really going to happen this way?
And they took a quality football player at 10.
They did. But I was like, if they end up with Arvell Reese and Caleb Downs out of this, I'm going to be so mad. And thankfully, they didn't take Caleb Downs. They go the offensive line route. They take Francis Maui-Noah from Miami. Fantastic. Thank you, Giants. Please. Thank you. And then it's at 11, and I'm like, okay, Dolphins need everything. Like, they can't. They're not. I don't think they'll take a safety. Like, that seems like a weird way to start rebuilding, even though he's a great player. So I'm feeling good. Then all of a sudden, Cowboys have traded to number 11. I'm like, oh my gosh, we've done it. I was like, there's no doubt in my mind Jerry made this move to get Downs. I assume that knowing they got the word that the Dolphins were shopping the pick and we're like, we're not letting somebody else come up here to number 11 and steal him from us. So the Cowboys move up one spot, give up 2 fifth-round picks to move up one spot, and they get Caleb Downs. And I'm like dancing around. Like, I'm little, like, I was so excited. I was like, this is I mean, okay. How often do they get the one guy that I'm begging for who I never thought would get that deep? I thought for sure somebody in that top 10 was going to take him, and sure enough, they don't, and he gets to the Cowboys at number 11. It was absolutely amazing.
Two things real quick. Well, when they made that trade, I was watching with my guy Mo Schefter, who does views from the 22 coverage for us, and he was saying even then, okay, this one is probably going to either – that Cowboys are probably going to go after Downs or maybe Reuben Bain Jr. He's like, either one will be quality. I'm thinking of you at this particular point. And so when it came to Caleb Downs, I said, oh, Eli got him one. Oh. Now – what type of dance did you do?
Oh, I don't even know. It was like, first of all, I can't do any actual dance. It's just things are flailing.
It was a happy dance.
Things are flailing. Arms are flailing. Things are happening. Like, I'm just like, I was so ecstatic. I didn't even know what to do. I was like, oh my gosh. I texted Brevin. I'm like, thank you for your Giants not taking him. I'm so glad. He's like, I thought we were going to go for him. I'm like, I'm just so glad you didn't. I mean, it was just, and then I was like, you know, there were some people texting me, man, 2 fifth-round picks just to move up a spot. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, but if they thought somebody else was coming in there to get him, like, but then later we get down to number 20 and suddenly they trade down. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. If there's not anybody you really love there, the Eagles clearly like somebody. They end up getting 2 fourth-round picks to trade down. So they replaced 2 fifths with 2 fourths. They get Caleb Downs. And then they still get an edge rusher, which is I said yesterday on the show, they got to come away with 2 defenders. I don't care. One, hopefully, is Caleb Downs, but they need somebody in the secondary, and they need an edge rusher. I said yesterday, Malachi Lawrence, I don't know. Like, I didn't watch a lot of UCF this year. There's a wide range of opinions on him out there. Some people thought he should be like a third or fourth round pick. Others thought it was a good pick for the Cowboys to get him where they did. I don't know. He's an edge rusher. Hopefully he pans out. They needed that. They got Caleb Downs. They replaced 2 fifths with 2 fourths. Jerry, God bless you. You
did a job.
Yeah, I thought last night was amazing for the Cowboys.
Well, because for one, you have a game changer.
Yes.
Caleb Downs. You know, that's a player that you can build around that defense and just come in and be an instant impact, stalwart at that level. So, to get that one, that's just a big sigh of relief off of anything. And you address the need, even if you didn't get the right guy, you addressed the need.
Yeah,
you know, as far as,
exactly.
Like you said, you needed those 2 defenders coming out of those 2 picks that you had last night, and you got it done.
I'm going to trust. Like, I thought they might go Falk as the edge rusher at that time. I didn't, whatever. I'll trust their people. They like Lawrence better. Go for it, whatever. We got Caleb Downs. Doesn't matter after that, quite frankly. I mean, we had a historically bad pass defense last year. They need help pass defense-wise. So that was great. But overall, in the first round of the draft, it starts, of course, with Fernando Mendoza. We knew that. Easy. No problem. David Bailey, the Jets didn't mess with anybody. That didn't screw anything up. They take David Bailey, which was expected. Then we had heard all the conversation about Jeremiah Love possibly going to Arizona. Was that a smoke screen? What was going to happen there? Would Arizona maybe trade out? But no, they take Jeremiah Love at number 3. A lot of people question Arizona making that move because of the other needs that they have. But again, everybody agrees. Jeremiah Love's an amazing player.
He's the one.
Like, it's just like questioning Arizona, like, is running back the right position for you to draft right now with where that franchise is? But again, if you're getting a game breaker type player, it's hard to really question that.
And a lot of the question also comes in with taking a running back that high.
Yeah.
Just in general, because like Mo pointed out yesterday, it's a lot of running backs in this league that won or participated in Super Bowls on teams that they weren't drafted by.
Exactly. Well, that's like, somebody posted this last night, but like the money they, because it's the third draft pick, the money they have committed now to Jeremiah Love is way more than what Saquon Barkley has committed to him. Yeah. Like, he's the highest paid running back in the league, basically, right. Now by being the third overall pick of the draft.
Right.
And so that's a lot, again, for a team that's a complete rebuild, doesn't have a quarterback. I mean, they've got so many needs. But anyway, hey, they take Jeremiah Love. People had heard that. Then the Titans. And it's, where are the Titans going to go here? Because there was a lot of thought they wanted Jeremiah Love. He's off the board. What do they do? Arvell Reese is sitting there, who most people love. Everybody universally loves Arvell Reese as a player. You got Robert Saleh. You know, how much input does a defensive guy have? And like, does he love him? Whatever. What do they do? And here they go. Carnell Tate. And that was like, whoa. They need a wide receiver. But I don't know that anybody was expecting Carnell Tate at number four. A lot of people thought Jordan Tyson was the better receiver of the two of them. Now, again, it's hard to go wrong right now with Ohio State wide receivers since they basically own the NFL.
That's very true. You
just look around the NFL. It's Ohio State wide receiver after Ohio State wide receiver. So you go, okay, they drafted him. But that one shocked me because I just wasn't – I thought with Reese sitting there – you just go that route.
That's the money move, yeah.
You just like, man, this, they do need edge rusher. Like, that guy, I just feels too good to pass on. And I will say this. I've got some Titans fans in my group chat. They did not handle this well.
Okay. were they thinking, let's go with a defender and Arvell Reese as well?
I think they were anybody other than Carnell Tate. What I got from them was, because a lot of thought didn't think he was the best receiver. They would rather have said Tyson was the better receiver. Everybody's like, he's not even the best receiver on his team. Oh, that's not fair to compare anybody to Jeremiah Smith. Like, he might be the number one overall pick next year. Like,
exactly.
But it was like it was complete meltdown mode. My guy Jerry, complete meltdown mode. It like was losing his mind over this thing. I was not even about to try and talk him off the ledge. There was no talking him off the ledge.
Well, at that point, you still were worried about what was going to happen around 11 or 12.
Yeah, I don't got time to worry about your Carnell Tate. I got a Caleb Downs to worry about. But you taking Carnell Tate helps Caleb Downs, I think, slide to me. Because now the Giants could take Arvell Reese and it gets things in motion. But yeah, so Carnell Tate, bit of a surprise there. Then Arvell Reese goes, which, again, for the Giants, that's the easiest pick in history. Then all of a sudden, the Chiefs trade up to number six, and you're like, what? Who are they targeting here at number six that they have to trade up to there? And they go for Mansoor Delaney out of LSU, and it was like, they gave up a third and a fifth to come up and get a guy that a lot of people thought would have been there at nine for them. Now, I have to assume they got word that either Washington or the Saints were going to take him. And so they had to get up there in order to get their guy. Obviously, they need to replace Trent McDuffie, who they get traded in the offseason. So they needed a corner really badly, and they wanted to make sure they got up there and got their guy. But he goes six. Sonny Styles, again, can't doubt that selection for Washington. I'm not a big fan as a Cowboys fan of having both Reese and Styles come into the NFC East. Then Jordan Tyson goes to the Saints. Again, a lot of people think he is the best receiver in this draft. And then Cleveland, it works out great. They trade down from six to nine, and they still have every offensive lineman on the board.
Yeah.
So they get their selection of whatever offensive lineman they want. There were some people saying that Cleveland originally did want Tate, and once the Titans took him, that meant that that's why they traded down. If Tate may have still been on the board, maybe they would have stayed at six and taken him. But they needed a receiver and they needed offensive line. They knew that was their needs. So here they trade down. They get Spencer Fano. And then the Giants, picking at 10 again, take Maui Noah. The Cowboys get Caleb Downs at 11. Then a couple of picks later came the real shocker. Number 13 overall, Ty Simpson to the Rams.
That's a good look for Ty. He get to go learn with some Jedis.
Greatest spot he could imagine. Go learn under Matthew Stafford and with Sean McVay. But it was just weird because everybody thinking the Rams are you're in win now mode. You got Matthew Stafford on the last couple of years. Right. You may have been the best team in the NFL last year. Right. You're at least second best to the Seahawks. And you get a guy who's not going to help you at all this year. So that one again surprised the heck out of me. I did not see them going Ty Simpson at number 13. If anything, I would have thought maybe they would have traded down, tried to get some other picks, taking him later, something like that. But that one was crazy. And what a crazy night. At the end of the first round, everybody was trading every pick. The guys on television had no idea. Like, the one thing that's great about the NFL, though, it's unlike the NBA, is at least when Roger Goodell announces it, he tells you who's making the pick. He
tells you who's making what.
You don't have to worry about, he's picking this, but they're trading him here. He tells you exactly who is drafting the person. The trade is done before the pick is made. We'll talk a lot more about the draft coming up a little bit later on in the program as we'll have plenty of time to do that coming up in hour number two. Last night in the NBA playoffs, three games. We had three home dogs last night. And all three home dogs were winners. Atlanta knocks off the Knicks 109-108. C.J. McCollum gets the game winner there, 12.5 seconds left. The Knicks got the one final possession, and it was an absolute train wreck. Then you had Toronto blowing out Cleveland 126-104. It was a close game going into the fourth quarter, and then Toronto just opened up a can in the fourth. 43-23 in the fourth quarter, they outscored Cleveland. They get their first win of that series. So that's 2-1 Cleveland. And then in the nightcap, the Timberwolves, with a very impressive performance, they knock off the Nuggets 113-96. So they take a 2-1 lead in that series. And that game really wasn't even as close as that score would indicate. It was Timberwolves jumped on them early. It was an impressive showing last night for Minnesota on their home floor. So all three home teams win, even though all three were underdogs. They were all small underdogs, but underdogs nonetheless. Tonight, three games. Celtics at 76ers. Celtics are a 7.5-point road favorite. Rockets an 8.5-point home favorite tonight over the Lakers. And the Lakers might get Austin Reeves back.
Why?
I don't know. Like that line, I was like, what the heck? 8.5? That's crazy. And then the Spurs, Victor Wembanyama listed as questionable. Again, if he can clear concussion protocol, he might play. I don't think he will. I'd find it hard to believe he could play this quick. Spurs, a 2.5-point road favorite at the Blazers. I did read where on that line, I think it was BetOnline, said that he's basically a 6-point difference on the line. It opened, I think, at 1.5, and they said if we had thought he was going to play, they would have been a 7.5-point favorite. But they don't believe he was going to play. Open at 1.5. There might be people out there thinking he is. Right. That's why the line moved to 2.5.
Right.
Like, hey, I'll take it. If I can get him with Wembanyama at 1.5, then I'm absolutely going to do that.
Absolutely.
Also out of the NBA, exactly what we said yesterday was going to happen. Devin Booker gets fined $35,000 for what he said about the officials while his technical was rescinded. So the thing he was mad about, they said, yeah, you're correct. It was wrong. However, you're going to have to pay us $35,000.
You can't act like that.
You can't say that. You're right, but you can't say that. So give us $35,000 and we'll take that technical away from you. And again, Taylor Jenkins becoming official that he will be the new coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll get more in-depth into the NBA coming up later on in the program as well. But up next, John Varlas is in the building. Time to talk some high school sports with JV. Next here on Sports 56 Mornings, right here on 98.5 FM and Sports 56 WHBQ.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, 7:29, the time here in the Family Leisure Studio, Sports 56 Mornings on this Friday morning. I'm in such a good mood. You can't knock me out. It's Friday. Cowboys got Caleb Downs. Cubs are in a 9-game winning streak. Life doesn't get any better. Oh, yes, it does. Because John Varlas is in the house.
It's time for Greg and Eli's weekly visit with John Varlas of the Daily Memphian. Check out John's prep sports coverage and much more at dailymemphian.com. John is brought to you by Shoot 360 Memphis, where the pros and preps go to get their shot on. Shoot 360 Memphis. Now here's John Varlas with Greg and Eli.
John always brightens the day when he comes in studio with us. Good morning, Mr. Varlas.
Good morning to you, Eli, and good morning, Jay Ham, and Mr. and Mrs. Memphis and Shelby County and all the folks. How's everybody doing today?
Man, I'm telling you, I'm great. I hope you're in a good mood.
I'm in a decent mood, but everything's coming up Eli today. Hey, How about that?
That's right. Yeah, that's absolutely. As long as this rain will miss us so my golf game isn't affected. I'm willing to accept a little bit of rain.
I think that's going to be okay too. It's interesting. You guys do the encore presentation of Sports 56 mornings in the evening now.
Yes.
And I was listening to that, I guess it was the last hour last night when I was driving home. And, you and Greg were kind of wrapping up things and you were talking about the draft. And, you could kind of hear the hope in your voice that if we could just get our hands on Caleb Downs. And then voila, you have drafted Caleb Downs and the Cubs are red hot. I mean, what a day for Eli Savoy.
It was truly.
Everything's coming up Eli today.
It was truly a great, great day yesterday.
You want to hear a joke?
Oh, yes.
Young guy was talking to his therapist or whatever. And he says, everything is so bad at home. It's awful. And the therapist's like, what's going on? And he says, well, my mom beats me and she goes, oh, no. And my dad beats me. Oh, that's terrible. And my big brother, my big sister, they beat me. And the therapist goes, oh, that's awful. And he says, yeah, I'm going to move in with the Phillies. They don't beat anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Phillies humor. Taking shots at the Phillies. I like it.
You can insert any team.
Exactly.
You could have done the Mets a couple of days ago. It works with anybody.
But yeah, while the Gaston's not here and his Phillies are on a 9-game losing streak and the Cubs just swept them, hell yeah. They're like a bye game. They're the Alabama A&M of Major League Baseball.
Bye game. I love it.
All right, so do you got a bone to pick?
I do. It's kind of one that comes around every year with the draft, and it's interesting. The team with the first pick, and it's not just this year. Obviously everybody this year knew it was going to be Mendoza, but any year, I mean, this is applicable to any year. The team with the first pick, you've known for how long that you're going to have the first pick?
Well, since the season ended.
So I don't understand why when the telecast starts, the people just don't come on and say, I'm Eli Savoy, I'm Jay Ham, welcome to the draft, let's go to the pick.
Well, it's more of I think they stall just because they want to make sure all the TV, they literally give them time. Because last night, there's no doubt. I mean, yes, it wasn't. But the Raiders weren't waiting to see if anybody made a last second call to try and trade. Like, everybody knew that. So I'm sure the Raiders had called in the pick immediately.
Yeah.
And it was just basically Roger Goodell's like waiting for TV to tell him it was okay to go announce it.
Yeah. I just don't understand why TV can't announce it quicker. Yeah. I mean, and it's good that they've trimmed it down and made it go faster for all the draft fans. I know, in past years it's kind of drug on a little bit, but any team, I mean, you've had 6 months to know, or 3 months or 4 months, whatever, at that point. Just get down to it.
The it's funny because with the 8-minute deal, first of all, it took them about whoever the pick was, if they were in the green room, it took them nearly 8 minutes to walk to the stage. I don't know where that green room was. Like, that thing was like they just kept walking and walking and walking. And I'm like, when do they appear on the stage? Like, they finally appear on the stage.
Was the green room in Scranton?
It was like crazy. But the great part was, like, they would go up there, they do their little thing, they do their interview, and like the next pick would be in. And, like, the TV's going to have to adjust because, like they were, the pick would be in and they're trying to get a commercial break in and everything else. It's like, no, dude, you got, we got a pick. We got to move this thing along. But it was all, I mean, it was basically done in 3 hours,
yeah.
Which that thing usually just seems to drag on forever. So I applaud everything. I thought it was great because of how quick it was last night.
Yeah. And I've got a bone to pick with the Titans too. And I've got a lot of empathy for the friends in your chat group. I mean, I'm following along on my phone and refreshing just out of curiosity. I'm not a fan. I don't care. But I see the Titans and Cornell Tate. And it's like the thing where the record scratches and it's like, you probably, yeah. What, you know, what is that? Oh, that was bad and weird. And for him to be the first
of the Ohio State guys to go was shocking.
Yeah. And somebody was like, well, you know, he's not the best wide receiver on his team. And your point is well taken. I mean, there are no better receivers than Jeremiah Smith. And then somebody said, well, Jackson Smith and Jigba wasn't the best receiver at Ohio State. Yeah, but Cornell Tate is not Jackson Smith and Jigba either. I mean, I just think that was like a stretch.
Yeah.
And I love Ty Simpson. I love everything that they're doing down there at Martin Westview, him and his brother Graham and the program they got down there. But I thought that was kind of a stretch, too, for the Rams at number 13. And it looked like Sean McVay wasn't even part of the process.
Apparently, he doesn't meet prospects. Like Sean McVay doesn't. This is a normal thing. He doesn't meet the prospects.
Does he have any input on what direction they're going to go?
I'm not sure how much yet, but he doesn't meet the prospects. It's like his thing. Like he kind of leaves that up, I guess, to the other people.
Wow.
He's like, whatever, y'all do you. I'll do me, and we're good. But
yeah,
for Simpson, again, he can't ask for a better situation.
No, that's awesome. He gets to learn from one of the best.
And he makes a bunch of money while doing it, being 13th pick. For the Rams, a team trying to win now, maybe if they love him that much, I think he's the quarterback to replace Matt Stafford, hey, get him, let him learn for a year, then you don't have to push him in right away, and it could work out great for them. That is for sure. With Simpson, is Graham I don't know what Ty did in high school. Is Graham thought to be better?
His numbers are better, and I think he's probably thought to be a bit of a better prospect. Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Ty Simpson was awesome in high school. I mean, he was everything you could want in a high school quarterback, all the awards, all the accolades. I can't remember, but I'm almost certain he won Mr. Football. But yeah, I do feel like Graham's probably the better prospect, and we'll have better numbers and maybe better accolades and all that when it's all said and done.
How big is Graham, dude? Now, he's only, what, a sophomore?
Yeah, he's only a sophomore. Off the top of my head, I don't know, Eli, but you know, they just play in that system where it's so pass heavy and they learn how to process the game and make reads and decisions.
Or your dad's a coach at a high level.
Your dad's a coach. Certainly that helps. And yeah, I mean, two tremendous football players. And again, I mean, this is nothing at him, but I mean, just seemed like 13 was a bit of a stretch. And I was.
And he gave the shout out to UT Martin in his interview, which I was like, I don't know why UT Martin. I guess just because his dad works there, but yeah. Like, it's not like you went to UT Martin.
No, but he's in Martin, though, at Westview. And I guess they play games there sometimes. But it's interesting. So outside of Matt Stafford, the two other quarterbacks now on the Rams are both West Tennessee guys. You got Ty Simpson, and you also have Dresser Wynn, who was from
former Showboats quarterback.
Yeah, he was from rural West Tennessee somewhere. He was actually
Stetson Bennett too.
He was actually at Briarcrest for a while. And
that's right.
I think he ended up
played baseball at Briarcrest.
I want to say he was in like Dresden or something
Yeah, because we had him on the show when he was with the Showboats.
That's kind of interesting. But shout out to Ty Simpson. Good draft. Hopefully we'll get a local guy off the board tonight.
Jake Golday. I can't imagine, like most people believe he'll go second round, but certainly there's no way he doesn't go tonight. So that'll be awesome.
Looking forward to seeing where Jake ends up. Our Frank Bonner had a really nice story, caught up with Justin Jefferson,
yes,
formerly of Bartlett High School and the University of Alabama. Hopefully Justin will hear his name called too, if not tonight, you know, maybe Saturday. So, yeah, good things happening all over the place. Lots of reasons to be positive on this Friday.
That's right. And, of course, on the high school sports scene, we are getting close to, as we get here near May, postseason time in the spring sports. So where do things currently stand right now as far as where we are as we get closer to the postseason?
Well, the regular season is winding up, and playoffs will be starting next week, district tournaments for baseball and softball. Soccer has one more week of the regular season. But you know, things, there's still a lot to be settled there. Be a big match next Wednesday, the 29th, between Houston and Collierville, which will determine a lot, you know, seating wise for that tournament. But baseball wise, in the 15-4A, that's all set. Collierville, they took two games from Houston on Monday and Tuesday, and so they won the district championship. They're going to be the top seed. They're going to host the district tournament starting Wednesday. And, I mean, talk about a tough tournament, Eli. Collierville's the one seed. Munford is the two seed. They're coming up from 3A to 4A this year. Really okay. Good season Munford's had. Arlington, super talented team. They're the third seed. Houston,
wow,
very good team with, you know, a lot of dudes. They're the fourth seed. And then you got Bartlett 5 and Germantown 6. So, I mean, you know, statewide, I don't know if there's going to be a deeper and more competitive district tournament than that one. So if you have any interest in high school baseball at all and seeing some good playoff action, Patriot Bank Park in Collierville is going to be your place to be starting Wednesday next week.
So how does and what's the, for
the
like double, baseball
double
postseason?
Elimination, okay. Double elimination. Beyond that, I think they've changed it this year to where they play two out of three series in the next round. And I'm a little sketchy on that, so I'm going to have to review that myself. But the first round is just going to be like it always has been, a double elimination tournament. Okay. And I'm sure, obviously, more than one team will advance. I'm just not sure how many because they've changed it up a little bit. But there's going to be definitely some good action out there at Collierville this week.
Elsewhere in baseball, I don't, what are other top teams around the area?
Yeah, I mean, obviously
the private schools, yeah.
The big private school division with Christian Brothers, Briarcrest, and MUS. That was interesting. So I'm going to get this straight. MUS beat Christian Brothers twice. Christian Brothers beat Briarcrest twice, and then Briarcrest beat MUS twice.
Oh.
So all the teams beat each other twice, and I'm thinking somehow out of all that, Christian Brothers still ended up being the top seed. They've got a very good team. I mean, Jason Mott's got a loaded squad over there. We've talked about Will Brick before, but they've got, you know, some terrific pitching as well. Scotty Stafford's had a great year on the mound. You know, Brandon Bardos is quality, another quality bat in the lineup. I mean, they've got a really deep and talented team, one of the state's best, and I, you know, certainly think they got a chance to make a deep run this year. Chattanooga Baylor probably on paper is going to be the team to beat in statewide in the large public school, private school division, But yeah, Christian Brothers is really good too, and I expect them to make a good.
Will their district thing, will that be next week also?
Should be because they're finishing up the regular season today and tomorrow and this week. Yeah, so yeah.
And then Utah tennis is already like qualified.
Tennis is already qualified. Yeah, so MUS on the boys' side, it was a total MUS sweep. The singles finals in that region was MUS versus MUS. The doubles final in that region was MUS and MUS. So all six of those guys are going to state. The singles champ, the singles runner up, the doubles champ, and the doubles runner up. Those guys are all going to state. Olivia Huggins from Briarcrest won girls singles, so she's going to state, along with a young lady from Hutchinson who finished runner up, and another girl from Briarcrest that finished third. So they've already qualified for state. Small public school, Lausanne, they've, you know, been pretty dominant here lately over the last few years, and they've qualified several kids for state as well. So yeah, just usual suspects in tennis, and like we were talking off the air, it's a little different this year. That tournament is going to be still part of Spring Fling, but it's going to be the week ahead of Spring Fling proper. So May 12th through May 15th is when the state tournament is going to be. It's also going to be separate city this year. It's going to be in Chattanooga at the impressively named Chattanooga Tennis Club. So looking forward to maybe seeing what that has to offer. The Chattanooga Tennis Club sounds fancy.
So, yeah. And then you're so, and then like Spring Fling's going to be some in Murfreesboro, some in Knoxville.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm really hate to ever criticize the Tennessee, the TWSAA, because I know them and they try their best. But I just, yeah, splitting up Spring Fling is just not the move as far as I'm concerned. I mean, separate venue for tennis, and tennis is also a different week. Separate venue for track. The track and field competition is going to be at UT. And then you're going to have the baseball, the softball, the soccer in Murfreesboro at the normal sites like you normally do. So, I mean, and logistically, it makes it hard for me as a reporter. But setting all that aside, nobody cares about my problems. It's logistically hard for the schools. You know, your athletic director, you know, let's say you're a let's say you're Collierville's athletic director. You got your track team in Knoxville. You got maybe your baseball team playing in Murfreesboro. Maybe your soccer team. I mean, yeah. You know, it's going to be really hard and just complicates everything. So I really hope at some point they just put it back under in a central location like it has been. I think that's worked really well for years.
Or if you're a parent that have multiple kids that play different sports, like I don't know, I got one in Murfreesboro, one in Knoxville. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, it's just hard. So you got to have chaperones for kids in different cities. You know, the track team's going to be staying in Knoxville. The soccer team's going to be staying in Murfreesboro. You got to keep tabs on all. It's just
that doesn't seem to make sense.
Unnecessarily complicated, in my opinion. And again, I always hate to criticize the TWSAA because I know how hard they try to do the right thing and work hard for the kids in this state. But you know, I think that was a bit of a foul ball on that decision.
John Varlas is here in studio with us as he does each and every Friday. Of course, brought to you by Shoot 360 Memphis. We'll take a break. Come back with more talking some high school sports with JV here on Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98. FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
We're back here at 7:50 the time in the Family Leisure Studios. Eli Savoy, Jay Hamm here today. No Greg Gaston, John Varlas joining us. Brought to you by Shoot 360 Memphis. Got a text question here on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 901-360-8255. Andrew texting in and asking about Lakeland's baseball team after the state title last year. We've talked a little bit about them through the season. They've moved up a class, so it's a little different, but how is Lakeland doing?
They're doing fine, and I think they've moved up two classes, actually.
Is it two classes?
Yeah, last year they were the Class 1A championship, and, you know, terrific story with that, you know, first state tournament, and then you win your first state championship in your first state tournament. And they still have pretty much most of that same team back, but, you know, moving up from 1A to 3A, the competition's going to be a lot tougher, you know, just getting to state. You know, some of the programs in rural West Tennessee, you know, established programs are really good, but Lakeland is quality. Coach Godwin's doing a great job over there. You know, they've got dudes over there, his son Brett and Peeler and Gronsham. I mean, those guys are very, very good high school baseball players. So yeah, I would not count out Lakeland Prep at all to make another run.
Track and field, like, so what's track and field's postseason? Where do they start qualifying guys for state?
Well, there's at some point, I would imagine soon, there's going to be a sectional meet, and that's where you qualify guys for state and girls too. Yep. And when we had a cool story this week over at the Daily Memphian, Eli Savoy, so being the pole vault aficionado that you are, you will I bet if you read it or if you haven't read it, you will be excited to know that two of the top three pole vaulter, girls pole vaulters in the entire nation reside in Shelby County.
Really?
How about that?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We're developing pole vaulters here. I had no idea.
We are. Well, and you joke, but going back to Harrison Williams.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Memphis has had lots of success in the pole vault.
What schools?
But yeah, no, we went out and talked to Claire Wettick from St. Agnes and Ava Williams from Collierville, the two really awesome young ladies and great athletes. And they have both, they're friends, they train together, obviously, you know, because the pole vaulters, you know, regardless of school, they kind of all train together. But they've both, I mean, they've kind of traded the state record back and forth this year. Claire broke it first, and then she took it up to 13 feet, 6 inches. And then last weekend, Ava was in the competing in Knoxville at a meet, and she got up to 13.62. So 13 feet, 6 inches, that's the second highest mark for a high school girl in the whole country. There's a girl in Idaho who's done 13.8. Wow. But that's it.
Those potatoes. Got her a couple of extra inches. That's impressive.
Yeah, and they're both defending champions in their respective classes. Yeah. Ava in the large public schools and Claire in the large private schools. So obviously they're going to both be the girls to beat again this year. But yeah, I just think that's really cool, and it was great to meet them. And you know, you got to be as Claire Wettick said, you got to be a little crazy to be a pole vaulter, to fling yourself up in the air, you know, over 13 feet and just hope everything goes right on the way down.
It's amazing. Pole vaulters amaze me. Yeah. I don't even understand how to do it at all. It like blows my mind. That and the triple jump are the two things that I look at. I go, I literally could not do it. I like anything else, I can at least do it, but I would just be bad at it. Like the high jump or something. I don't understand the triple jump, and I don't understand pole vaulting.
Yeah,
I can't do it. There'd be physically impossible for me.
We've got the best triple jumper in the country in Shelby County too. Miles Naismith from Central, the defending champion. He's, you know, far and away the best triple jumper, you know, I've ever seen. I mean, kid's incredible. And high jump as well. He's cleared 7 feet already this year. And, you know, 53 feet. I mean, well over that in the triple jump. Dude's incredible. Bright future. So many great track athletes in our area.
No doubt. Switching gears, I did want to get one other thing with you. Tigers, obviously, transfer portal. That's the rage right now. Everybody's got their eyes on the portal. One of the targets for the Tigers is Josh Holloway, who's, of course, from here. Everybody knows him from the John Morant situation. Unfortunately, that's like what he's known for. But how good of a high school player was he?
He was good. He didn't play his whole career in Memphis. I think he left at some point, and I'm not sure where. But when he was a freshman at St. George's, he was very good, very touted, very well thought of, you know, terrific player. And then, like I say, at some point, memory's a little fuzzy, but at some point he left, and I'm not sure where he ended up, kind of okay. Lost track of him. But yeah, he was a talented kid and very well regarded early on in his career. And, you know, good to see the Tigers have an interest in him as they maybe continue to bring back some of the local flavor.
I was going
to
say, they might have the way they're going, they might have, 6 or 7 local guys.
Yeah, I mean, they've already got 4. I mean, 3.5 maybe, depending on how you look at Cello Jackson.
Yeah.
But I'm going to call it 4.
I mean,
he's a Memphis kid. So, yeah, so they got 4, maybe adding a 5th. I mean, and it's good, Eli. I'm thinking long term. You know, there's so many talented basketball guys in the junior class, and in particular the sophomore class. So if you bring in some of these class of 2026 guys, keep them around, maybe have some success with them, that's going to help you next year when Dylan Jones is ready to sign at Bartlett, you know, national top 50 player. When Friesen and Jordan Miles at Houston are ready to sign, you know, outstanding high school players. And then you get into the sophomore class with DJ Okot at Bartlett and Braylon Williams at Bartlett and Josh Huggins at Briarcrest. I mean, those are dudes. I mean, those are bona fide, you know, big time prospective basketball players from the city of Memphis. And if you can get your share of those guys and kind of keep things rolling and productive with them, I mean, I think it's just a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, it looks like right now is a good time to be getting back to the Memphis pipeline.
It's a lot of
good ones coming up.
It is a good time. And then you even, you know, dip down into the freshman class. You know, somebody like KJ Stevenson. I mean, everybody he was actually an eighth grader this year, but everybody's wowing at his potential. I mean, he's already 6'3" and talented player. So I mean, you're right. You're right. It is a good time to start to start thinking local.
There's no doubt about that. He is John Varlas, the award-winning prep reporter for the Daily Memphian. You can follow him on at Twitter at John Varlas. He'll keep you covered again postseason with the spring sports just around the corner. Won't be long. We'll be talking about spring fling and all of that as well. Brought to you, of course, by Shoot 360 Memphis. JV, have a good week.
Yes,
man.
Sir. You too. I'm going to go out and celebrate Eli Day. And,
I appreciate that.
And congratulations again on an awesome draft haul. And go Cowboys.
We'll hope that it continues. We'll hope that it continues. Of course, at this point now, it's I just need one guy. Everything else, just cherry on top of it.
What are you looking for now?
They can just keep drafting defensive players as far as I'm concerned, because the defense was historically bad. To me, they still need corner help. As much secondary help as they can get, I'll take it. As many edge guys as you could get. You could always use offensive line help. That's a universal thing. I'm always like, you could use offensive line help. And with the George Pickens situation, maybe they draft a wide receiver. I would assume they will draft a wide receiver at some point as well as a guy for the future. So,
you know what they say about defense, Eli Savoy?
It wins championships.
It does.
It absolutely does. And a terrible defense makes you miss the playoffs.
Oh, it makes you miss everything.
We'll be back. Hour number two of the program coming up here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.